From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, you're listening to The Diz Unplugged. Hello and welcome to the Diz Unplugged Roundtable Discussion for Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2008. From Orlando, Florida, I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined this week by my good friends, Kathy Werling, Julie Martin, Corey Martin, Kevin Close, and John Magi. In the Peanut Gallery this week, Teresa Eccles and her son, who is named after my dog, Max. In this week's show, our special... In this week's show, Kathy Werling just returned from 4 days on board the Disney Wonder, and she'll have an update for us on her trip and some information about the ship, especially in advance of the podcast cruise coming up on May 10th. And Kevin Close has a re-review of the Yachtsman Steakhouse at the Yacht Club, the Villa de Flora Buffet Restaurant at the Gaylord Palms, and some suggestions for cheap eats in the Orlando area. All that plus Roundtable Rapid Fire and this week's news on this edition of the Diz Unplugged. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. It is this show goes up on Christmas Eve, so those of you who are listening are probably busy wrapping presents and doing other things, getting ready for Christmas. I haven't even, well, I've got a couple of Christmas presents bought, but I actually still have to go out and like buy for most of the gifts I need to buy. I still need to go out and buy. So
do I.
Nothing like waiting to the last minute. And I do it every year, and every year I say, oh, next year I'm going to be good, and it never happens. Everybody else done with their shopping?
Yep, we're done.
Teresa's nodding her head no.
We're done.
We kind of made a pact this year. We're going really, really light.
No space. It's not even a money thing. We just don't have any place else to put it.
You have no place to put stuff.
Right, we're going to have to start stacking stuff.
Build a second level onto the house.
You know, if it wasn't a homeowners association, I think I would try it. They frown on that.
All right, a couple of things we have in housekeeping before we get started this week. Number one, just want to remind everyone, we are looking for Disneyland correspondents for the show. If you live near Disneyland or visit the park on a regular basis, we're interested in having somebody report on some kind of regular basis next year about what's happening at Disneyland. We're looking for about two or three people, and we're going to be taking submissions until probably the middle of January. Give people time to put something together. You don't have to actually like do up a whole review for us or anything like that. Just send us a voicemail. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background with Disneyland. We want to get to hear how you sound and, you know, make sure you sound good, basically. So you can do that either of two ways. You can call it in to our toll-free voicemail line, 877-310-9662. Or you can record it yourself, which would be ideal. And you'll find a tutorial on our podcast main page, podcast.wdwinfo.com. That'll tell you exactly how to go about recording a piece for the show and emailing it into us. So this is not a paid position. I just want to reiterate that. But, you know, we try and be nice to the people who help us out. And like David Parfit. David Parfit was able to come down from MouseFest as a special correspondent and stay at the Swan Dolphin, and he actually did some really good interviews. We got some good stuff coming up from him in the next couple of weeks, including his Give Kids the World interview. And that brings me to my next piece. We are in the process. Oh, as Kevin slurps on his coffee.
I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Is that on Bingo? Is that on podcast Bingo?
Kevin slurping. It should be. I won't do it again. I promise.
We are trying to raise some money for Give Kids the World by selling some of our Diz Unplugged t-shirts. We've had special t-shirts done up. These are not the same t-shirts that we send out when you get an email or voicemail played on the show. These are special t-shirts that we've had designed. They're great. I love these new shirts. I love them, love them, love them. And we are the cost of the t-shirts is $24.95. $24.99, 100% of which goes to Give Kids the World. Dreams Unlimited has is donating the cost of the shirts. So $24.99 plus shipping, and all of that money goes right to Give Kids the World. How much have we sent so far?
We've collected about $1,500. We haven't sent it yet to Give Kids the World. I'm collecting interest on it until the very last minute.
I see. So we've got $1,500 raised so far. The goal is $10,000. We want to raise $10,000 for Give Kids the World. And so we need everybody to buy one of these shirts and to call your friends and your family members and tell them this is it for a really, really good cause. You're going to hear just how good a cause it is in today's show, because David Parfit did a great job of telling us all about Give Kids the World Village, what they do, where they came from, what they're all about. And really and truly, I cannot think of a better organization in Central Florida to support. What these guys do is incredible. They turn no one away.
I had someone ask me at the podcast if they didn't want to buy a shirt, could they just make a donation through us?
If they want to, yeah, sure. I'll take anything.
Okay.
Sure. If you want to send us money and you don't want a shirt, that's fine. We'll be more than happy to pass that money along. Like I said, 100% of what we collect is going to Give Kids the World. There's no administrative fees being taken out of it, nothing like that. So we're trying to raise $10,000. We're going to be pushing this hard for the next couple of months or until we reach our goal. So if you're interested, you can find information on how to order a shirt on the podcast main page, as I mentioned before, podcast.wdwinfo.com. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we have a couple of people that are waiting, have picked numbers for prizes, and we are not going to do your prizes until the first show of the new year, and that's because we have all new prizes going into the Prizematron. Now, I will say that there are going to be more gift certificates, $25, $50, $75, $100 gift certificates, but there are some other very cool prizes. 6 days, 5 nights in Disneyland. A 7-day, 6-night Magic Your Way package with dining for a family of four to Disney World. It's going in there. Along with some other very, very cool prizes that we've lined up. Backstage safaris. What the heck else did I come up with? Oh, it's a bunch of cool stuff. A bunch of cool stuff. And you're absolutely going to want to wait.
We also have one more podcast cruise to give away.
Oh, we do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought we had...
Nope, we said we were going to give one more away before January 10th, because that's when we got to give our group space back. So we got to figure out how to give that one away.
Hmm. How to give away a podcast cruise. How should we do it?
I don't know.
Well, we will come up with some creative way. Listen to our January 1st show. You're going to have a very limited amount of time to win the podcast cruise, but we will be giving away a podcast cruise on our January 8th show.
Perfect.
We'll say that. Our January 7th show, actually.
Sounds like a plan.
So, well, that's something to look forward to for the new year. And want to remind everybody to sign up for our mailing list. You can find that podcast.wwinfo.com. That's the fourth time I've given the show notes page URL. Sign up for our mailing list and also sign up. Be sure to go check out our blog, disunplugged.com, and subscribe to that. I just want to make sure I remind everybody of that. John, did you have something you wanted to?
I do. Hang on 1 second.
As long as we're doing housekeeping, I just want to reiterate what I said when I first got here. I listened to the live show. None of you are going to Disneyland Paris without me.
Not even the heavy breather?
None of them. Nobody.
The mouth breather. We received a package in the mail, and usually when we get a package in the mail for the whole team, I save it for...
Till the dogs sniff it.
Really, till the bomb-sniffing dogs get to it. Till we get to the podcast, because... I want to open in front of everybody. I opened this one a little early because it said, like, keep cool. So just in case there was something that was going to go bad. Can I have to Julie? Let Julie read the little note that came with it.
Should I read the date? No. Dear Diz Boards podcast team, thank you for all your hard work and enthusiasm you put into the podcast and the Diz Boards. You help make Walt Disney World planning a breeze. This says, Merry Christmas, Louise and Mark Mullen, Eureka, Missouri.
We received Bissinger's. Is that how you say it?
I would assume that's how you would say it.
Fine chocolates.
What is it with you people and the chocolate?
Know, this podcast room is starting to turn into like the candy cauldron.
It's like Candyland.
However, I noticed that when we come here, the stuff from the previous week is gone.
No, it's not.
No, well, it the peppermint not. Bark is gone.
I think it got thrown out.
Oh, no.
As in thrown down my throat.
No, it didn't get thrown out. It was eaten.
These are very nice, fine chocolates.
You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in this house alone, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm peckish.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me go grazing in the podcast room.
It's very geometric.
It's like a big bar of it.
Oh, I have a message for a goofy mom. She sent me two Canadian chocolate bars with the bear that she made for the baby. Oh, my God. I thought I was in heaven.
Somebody sent us
this is good chocolate.
Oh, my gosh.
Recently.
Wow.
Very heavy.
I believe it was the folks from that came to our podcast.
This is extraordinary chocolate. What is this? Bissinger's.
Let me crack it for you.
Fine German chocolate.
Mm. You got to love those fine Germans.
Handcrafted. It's good.
I mean, the Germans didn't wash their hands when they were making it. That's what gives it that extra special taste.
That's my favorite place to get chocolate at the World Showcase is Germany.
Mm. Oh, my God. It's good chocolate.
This is really, really good chocolate.
Oh, man.
Just what we need.
Thank you, Lois and Mark.
Why am I fat as I got chocolate hanging out of my
Louise
mouth?
And Mark.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that. It's very sweet. It's very sweet.
No puns intended.
Ba-dum-tsh. All right, anything else for housekeeping? All right, then we will move on with the news. Our first news story this week, the Orlando Sentinel is reporting that area water parks are working to comply with a new federal law that requires special safety measures in order to prevent accidents involving drains that could trap swimmers underwater. Some underwater pool drains are capable of creating enough suction that a swimmer could be trapped and eventually drown. The Virginia Graham Baker Pool and Spa Safety Act of 2007 is a law requiring that public pools install special hardware to prevent such accidents. The law is named for the 7-year-old granddaughter of former U.S. Secretary of State James Baker, who died in a similar accident. Since the law was signed last year, water park operators have been lobbying local officials for special consideration, claiming that their drainage systems are vastly different than those of standard pools, and the required safety upgrades are not required for them. Well, from what we understand, all of Central Florida's water parks have stated that they are in compliance now. The law went into effect last Friday, but apparently it was quite expensive for them to retrofit all of their pools and drainage systems in order to comply with this. But they lobbied hard to get exemptions, and apparently the government wasn't having it. So,
what happened to that little girl was really kind of gruesome.
Yeah, I have to imagine with the number of people who go to these water parks every year, if there was something that was would have caused this, it would have happened. If there was a default in their systems, we would have seen this happen already.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the number of people in those pools and the number of people in those parks. So
exactly,
I'm glad that they did what they had to do to take the safety precautions. But I kind of back the water parks on this one and saying that they must have even better safety precautions in place.
Yeah. I think, you know, maybe in, you know, depending on if it's a resort with a spa, a hot tub, that might be a little different depending on the kind of drainage system they have. But in the water parks themselves, I can't imagine anyone getting caught underwater. I guess it's possible, but yeah, like you said, I think it would have happened by now.
And the safety checks they do over there, I mean, every morning, every night is unreal.
Exactly. So,
did Wet n Wild have to go through this? Because their regular rides are dangerous. Like that big toilet bowl flushing ride they have where they spin you around and flush you out a toilet. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
I love that commercial. The kid goes down head first. All right. Merry Christmas.
And unattended children shouldn't be in hot tubs anyway. It's bad for them.
Mm. Oh, don't get me started on that. It was disgusting when we were out in Disneyland back in April. And they only had the Grand Californian, because the construction that was going on, only had the one hot tub open. And it was loaded with 3-year-olds.
Again, that's not good for kids anyway. No.
It's not good. It's not healthy. There was nobody watching. These kids were unattended. They were, and you know, I mean, I took one look at that. You know, it's like unflushed toilet. No thanks. I don't really feel like bathing in your like 102 degree toilet bowl.
You're trying to relax, and the kid comes and does a cannonball right by.
Or there's bubbles and the mechanism isn't turned on.
Yeah, right.
Trouble.
So, all right. On our next news story, and this one's got me going. A Unite Here Local 11 in Anaheim, California has launched a blog, DisneyIsUnfaithful.org, criticizing Disney on any number of issues at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Articles posted on the site include Disney's deteriorating wages have negative impact on the economy, toxic Disney, and Disney characters getting arrested. And in a related story, the same union, and this is what just has me disgusted, staged a protest over the weekend that involved the children of union members. The children ranged from 3 months in age to 13 years old. They carried letters with their Christmas wishes, marched in a Posada procession to the entrance of the Paradise Pier Hotel, where a union worker announced, "There is no shelter for us here," and the children were turned away. The Posada procession is meant to symbolize the journey of Mary and Joseph seeking shelter for the birth of Christ. Now, for anybody who's listened to the show, you know I'm an avid supporter of unions. I believe in unions. I think unions are a good thing. I think organized protests, when you feel that wages or benefits are unfair, are a good thing. I think it's an important part of labor. To bring your children into this is disgusting, is absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I supported this union with some of the stuff they were doing last year around the housing. And but this, they've just gone too far. They really have gone too far. Bringing the kids out, they've got people running around in homemade character outfits, blocking traffic in front of the hotels, getting arrested. They're bringing their kids into protest. Now, you know what? You're a bunch of idiots. You're acting like a bunch of idiots. Your union is not serving you well. There is a way to protest. There is a way to get your point across. I'm not saying that their position, what they're looking for, is right or wrong. I'm just saying going about it like this and bringing your kids into it is just, it's just cheesy. It's tacky. It's wrong. It's just wrong. You're exploiting your children, and you're letting your union exploit your children for political purposes. And I really think any union member who brought their children to that ought to be ashamed of themselves, and the union organizers ought to be ashamed of themselves for doing it.
They're doing it to get attention.
Of course they are.
They got attention on the news for dressing like characters, and all over the papers, Disney characters arrested.
And I got to be honest. Again, you know, like I said, I've been very supportive of unions, but it sounds to me, because, I mean, Disney has struck deals with all the other unions out there. It's this one that's holding out. And this is the only union that currently gets a health care fund, basically, that Disney pays in for every hour work they pay into this fund. And they're agreeing to continue to pay into it until 2010, at which time they want the union to switch over to the same health care plan everyone else is on, which I don't think is unreasonable, personally. I really don't.
Disney's current health care plan is very good.
It's extremely good. And much better than you're going to get anywhere else, especially when they're offering it to part-time workers as well as full-time. And for the kind of jobs that you're getting, the kind of jobs that people are working, housekeeping, maintenance, to get this kind of health care package. In another company, this kind of health care package is what executives would get. And, you know, I just think there's a line of reasonability. And that just because it's a union doesn't make them right. And I think in this particular instance, the right is on Disney's side. And the more the union acts like this and behaves like this, the less support they're going to have, I think, in the public. I don't think anybody's going to look at, you know, a procession of children on Christmas being trotted out for a union protest and think that that's a good thing. And if they do, there's something wrong with them.
A Posada procession? I've never heard that word before in my life. Have you?
Nope. This was all part of the news story. First time I'd heard it.
I know what it is. I mean, I just haven't heard it been called that.
So, now the other news story I wanted to talk about this week was not something that has been posted in any of the news organizations. This is something that we're seeing reported on our discussion boards. And I want to be very, very clear here that this is not – we have not checked this for accuracy per se. But people on our boards, a number of people, are reporting that there appears to be an outbreak of Norwalk virus at the theme parks or at the resorts.
You know something? I saw this recently, and I apologize. I don't have details of it. John had the news on in another room one night, and I was listening to it, and apparently this is running rampant through Great Britain, that they're reporting hospitals just being there being a deluge of people coming in with intestinal distress, vomiting, and it's...
Well, there's a number of posts on the board, both on our community board and on our resorts board, with people reporting that they either got sick at the parks while they were visiting or shortly after they got home. And, I mean, there's reports of people, like, getting sick in the parks, people getting sick in, like, the lobby of the resorts, in the parking lots, that it's apparently a there's an outbreak. Now, I was not able to find any reports on the CDC.gov website, the Center for Disease Control, normally where this is reported. So I do not know if this is an actual outbreak or not, but we are seeing a number of people reporting that they are having issues with symptoms. They're coming down with symptoms that seem very consistent with the Norwalk virus. Now, we do have information posted on the site. I posted it in the news area today. I've also posted it in our blog, disunplug.com, with the recommendations for, A, what to look for to see if it is, in fact, Norwalk virus that you're coming down with, and what the government recommends as a way to protect yourself against it. This is a foodborne virus that is contracted from person to person, apparently. And I will not go into the details of where it comes from because it's disgusting. And in our Christmas show, I don't think we should be talking about, like, certain words. But it's really important that you wash your hands a lot. Wash your hands a lot with sanitizer. One person had a good suggestion that what she tells her kids to do is when they're washing their hands with soap, that they keep washing while they're singing Happy Birthday. They sing the entire song Happy Birthday, and that's pretty much the right amount of time for you to be washing your hands. And so we have some suggestions on the site of things to watch out for, but I did want to make sure that if you are planning a trip down here in the next couple of weeks, be aware it seems like Yacht and Beach Club and Saratoga Springs have been the hardest hit, and Port Orleans.
Yeah, I think Grand Floridian was one, too.
Oh, really? Okay, so then it's all over the place.
I was just going to say, it's one of those things that's going to hit everywhere. It's not going to be localized.
Yeah, and it's...
I want to cover our house in plastic wrap. I'm not leaving till a baby's born.
We always carry little sanitizers, little pocket size hand sanitizers with us. I mean, you can get them at Walgreens, CVS for 99 cents.
But it is important to keep in mind that they've proven repeatedly that hand sanitizers are no more effective than soap and water.
Well, the good thing about the hand sanitizer, though, is that even the time between washing your hands and getting somewhere,
absolutely,
you'd be amazed the amount of times you've touched other surfaces. Yeah. So,
leaving the bathroom, if the door doesn't push out where you can use your behind or whatever to help you get out, you have to touch that horrible little door handle.
I'm an acrobat getting out of bathrooms. I can walk in and walk out without touching a single thing.
Well, that sounds like a whole segment.
Yeah.
Corey walks on his hands.
The other thing about hand sanitizer, it's a more instant thing.
Right.
If it's with you in your pocket, you can think about it more often and do it as frequently as you think you need to.
Absolutely. But there are suggestions that the government makes in terms of ways to limit your exposure to this. But this is a nasty virus. And everyone I personally, thank goodness, have never had it, but everyone I've ever talked to who has said it was the sickest they have ever been in their life. that it is, it's brutal. And it lasts for about 12 to 24 hours. It's an intestinal virus. You do the math of where that goes from there. But just wanted to put out a cautionary warning. Again, this is not official. This has not been declared an outbreak by the CDC. Disney has not reported this, to the best of my knowledge anyway. This is anecdotal information that we're gaining, gleaning off of our discussion boards. And I just wanted to make everyone aware that there may potentially be an outbreak of Norwalk at Disney World right now, and to take precautions. You don't want to. So no better way to ruin your vacation than something like that. So with that, that'll do it for the news. And I think it's time to get back to doing the weather.
Especially now that they're all snowed in.
Oh, especially now.
Now that they're all crusted with ice.
Hold on a second.
It's -3 today with the wind chill in Chicago. That's a report from my good friend Tiffany.
My dad got snowed in for 2 days in New Jersey. Back-to-back storms.
Yep, you guys are getting it. I mean, just, you know, you're not alone. We're also dealing with a terrible cold front here. It's 59 degrees here right now. I was out earlier and needed a light jacket and was quite uncomfortable because I did not have one. We're right here with you. We understand what you're going through.
Do your dogs get frisky when it's like this?
No.
Really?
My dogs are slugs.
Bailey and Zoe, they just, when it's like this outside, they just go crazy. They're frolicking and laying in the sun.
See, my dogs don't go outside without me.
Oh.
They have to go out on leashes because we don't have a fenced-in yard.
Well, by the time the show goes up on Christmas Eve, the cold snap will have passed.
Yay!
We can let the dogs and the homeless people back out of the shelters.
If you're coming down in the next week, you are going to have phenomenal weather. According to the forecast, weather is going to be in the 80s during the day, sunny to partly cloudy, with lows in the evening in the low 60s.
The pools will be active.
And I think according to this, the coldest it's going to get will be December 30th. The low is going to be 52. So,
well, about tonight we're going to have 40s, but it doesn't matter for them, I guess.
This doesn't go up until Wednesday, so it really doesn't matter for them. But if you're coming down this week, if you're coming down, well, I mean, you'll have nice weather, but you'll also be dealing with biblical crowds. It'll be insane in the parks. Teresa was talking about her sister coming into town this coming weekend, and they're going to go to the Magic Kingdom. I said, well, you better get there good and early.
I've got relatives in town that are down here now for Christmas, and they're complaining about the crowds.
This is the busiest week of the year. Now, of course, right after the first of the year, that's when the crowds all disappear. That's a brilliant time to be down here.
I was in the mall yesterday, one of the local malls, and there was not a parking spot.
So you were crazy.
I was. I was.
You had like a little madness there.
However, everybody had shopping bags. So this thing about the economy being so bad, and when you go to Walt Disney World and you go to the local mall, they're mobbed.
Kevin's going to talk about eating at Villa de Flora and Gaylord Palms the other night. We all commented the same way and said, if you look at this hotel, how could you even imagine that there's a slowdown in the economy? This hotel was packed with people.
We've been doing great with Gaylord Palms this month.
The restaurants were packed. The lobby was packed. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, it's I don't know. And especially because I'm sure that there are people listening to the show right now who have really been affected by the economy, and we do not mean to make light of that at all. But from my perspective, everything that I look at, whether it's our business or the theme parks or the hotels that we do business with, yeah, if there's a slowdown in the economy, we're not seeing it. As a matter of fact, this has been a great December. The traffic to the site has been up tremendously. We're seeing a lot of interest in bookings and in travel. I mean, it has, you know, maybe it's not going to hit for another few months. I don't know, but I know that other areas of the travel industry have been hit hard. I think I reported a couple of weeks ago that Orbitz and Travelocity and Expedia were all experiencing double-digit drops. And even some of the some of the reports here that traffic into Orlando International has dropped by about 10 or 11%. I just don't see it.
I'll say this. We are seeing a lot more cancellations where people are saying it's because of the economy, where people are saying my husband's lost his job, or we just don't think it's financially sound to travel at this time of year. It's not significantly higher, but it's definitely a lot more of those are coming in. Mm-hmm. So we can definitely see people are being affected by it. But
I think a lot of people are being cautious also.
I agree.
I think a lot of the cancellations we're seeing is because of the dire reporting that you get on the news or in the newspaper, that people are just a little hesitant.
Yeah, I think people are getting spooked. But like you said, though, you go to the mall, you go to one of these hotels, and you look at the theme parks right now, and you look around and go, what economy problem?
There's an Apple store in the mall I was in yesterday. And if you looked in Apple and watched the people coming out, there was no slowdown in Apple yesterday.
Yeah. Well, good. Let's hope. Let's hope that the retailers have a good season.
I don't know if it's a good thing or not, because I believe that people are maxing out their credit cards is what they're doing, and that's not smart. I mean, it really isn't, especially if you're hurting financially and because of the economy. I mean, Christmas doesn't have to be, so grand. You need to slow down and think about what it's really about.
Good point.
Agreed.
Good point. And with that, we will move on to roundtable rapid fire. And who would like to go first?
Me, because I don't want mine to be stolen, just in case.
Is it about a marathon or running?
No.
I think it won't be stolen.
The Velvet Sessions at the Hard Rock Hotel is going to be on January 29th. That's the next one, 2009. It'll be featuring the 10,000 Maniacs with Mary Ramsey. So, unfortunately, no Natalie Merchant.
She's too big now.
I don't even know who Mary Ramsey is.
I loved 10,000 Maniacs. However, without Natalie Merchant, you just have Maniacs.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
I'm sure some people will go out and see him, though.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. That's the last Thursday of...
January.
Of January.
Yes.
Okay. That's right. They don't do it in December. I forgot. And that's $25 per person. You must make reservations for that. That's over at the Hard Rock Hotel, a Universal great hotel.
They're normally fun, but yeah. I definitely won't be there.
No.
All right. Kathy Whirling.
I have the... Disney's released their mass schedules for Christmas. It's at the Fantasia Ballroom. I'm sorry, John told me to bring this one.
Corey apparently had that one.
That's good.
For those of you who can't see us, Corey just flung his paper behind him. That was very funny.
You can join in. We can share it. But anyway, December 25th in the Fantasia Ballroom at the Contemporary, they will be having different services. They've got the Catholic, they've got the Protestant, and they've mentioned that parking in the Contemporary parking lot will be, for the guests of that resort. So they highly recommend that you use the monorail or watercraft or, I guess, buses, anything that would get you there other than parking your car in the Contemporary.
There's nothing like coming out of Mass
by jet ski.
Getting on one of them sea racers and getting back to your resort.
I don't know. I've never gone. I always wanted to go, but it just seems to me there's probably an awful lot of people.
Are they all going on simultaneously?
No. Do you have the times?
Yeah. Catholic Mass is at 8 a.m. and 10:15. The Protestant service is at 9. And then also up on our site, Corey put up, there's some off-site locations for services for Christmas.
I could be whatever religion had the latest mass.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
Us Catholics like to get up early, don't we? Kind of getting right there.
That's why I'm surprised there wasn't one earlier, because I'm used to doing like a 7 o'clock mass.
Yeah, lots of people do sunrise services on Christmas.
Or they just sleep in. Sleep until noon. All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Kathy. I am going to continue my mentioning of the sponsors who helped us pull off the Toy Story Mania meet. I want to remind everybody that the Timeshare Store, who they sell DVC resales, Disney Vacation Club resales, Gaylord Palms, Sheraton Vistana, and of course the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. These guys all have specials going on right now on the site. Great deals can be had from all of them if you want a DVC. If you want to buy into DVC, absolutely check out the timeshare store. If you're looking for first-class hotels at a really, really great price, if you can't afford to do the Disney experience on property, the Swan and Dolphin is located on Disney property, just walking distance to MGM and Epcot. Gaylord Palms and Sheraton Vistana are very close by, both gorgeous resorts. So please show them your support. Show them that we appreciate what they did for us, because God knows we may need them again in December. So let's make it worth their while for helping us out, and make sure you give them your business and let them know that you appreciate their support of our community and our party this past weekend.
Either that or it's going to be cheese platter on Pete's front lawn.
Yeah, really. So, John, what do you have?
I have Disney has extended their book 4 nights, get 3 nights free promotion. You can now book this promotion through January 24th, 2009. And it's travel for most nights, February 13th through June 27th, 2009.
I'm glad they extended that.
I am too. There are blackout dates in there, obviously, and it's going to be based on availability. But it seemed to have been a big seller. It seemed to help Disney. They were down. They were down 10%.
And now they're down 6.
And now they're down 6. So for that period of time. So this is helping them fill their hotel rooms, and people are getting a good deal of it. So definitely try to take advantage of that promotion.
In all honesty, it is the best deal I've seen come out of Disney in a very long time.
I agree.
You know, 7 nights for the price of 4, that's a real deal. Now, if they throw free dining in, that'd be really good. Well, you can't expect me to, you know, I got to ask for more.
Really?
But, all right, thank you very much for that, John. Kevin, what do you have?
I have a special holiday dining announcement. The Diamond.
No, you don't.
Okay. I'm done. The holiday. The horse.
No,
I was
ahead.
All ready before. The Diamond Horseshoe. Let's stop there. They'll be open for dinner December 24th through the 31st from 5 till 9. Dinner is $29.99 for adults and $15.99 for children, or for children 3 to 9. Price does not include tax or gratuity, and dinner is going to be served family style. It's all you care to eat and will be roasted turkey, all the trimmings, and roast beef, pork loin, etc.
And Kevin will be doing his song and dance act on the...
Can-can girl outfit.
Right. Sitting on the edge of the piano. Doing that, torch.
Does that take reservations, or is that just a walk-up?
I don't know.
No, actually, it sounded sort of cool, because I've never done something like that.
I would call Disney Dining if you're interested.
Right. Okay. This is the handle overflows in the park and help people.
They did this 1 year. We went to one at the Tomorrowland Terrace Noodle Station.
I remember you talking about that one.
They opened up the buffet, and we enjoyed it better than the Tomorrowland Noodle Station, but it was a special overflow thing for the holidays.
Cool.
And that's a great venue, too.
It is. It's
a beautiful location.
It's not a big location, but it's a nice place. It's another sit-down option in the Magic Kingdom.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I'm assuming that Corey...
I found one.
Oh,
I have one. Yeah.
Okay.
Brought my computer. They have rehabs. At Epcot, Ellen's Energy Adventure is going to be closed from January 5th through March 22nd. So
you'll
need to find somewhere else to sleep.
Are they doing something major to it?
She's going
to
work out her divorce proceedings. Or nullification of her marriage or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's see. Splash Mountain is going to be closed from January 4th through January 17th. Mickey's PhilharMagic, January 18th through February 6th. Buzz Lightyear, March 2nd through March 6th.
That's not long. Must be just cleaning it.
They're going to take handy wipes and wipe everything down.
Let's see. The Backlot Tour at Disney's Hollywood Studios, January 4th through February 28th.
That's another one. Won't be missed.
And the water parks, Typhoon Lagoon, is going to be closed through March 22nd.
And, of course, the one that Disney's not reporting that we keep hearing, which is sometime in late January, Space Mountain, being shut down for the rest of the year.
I've heard even longer than that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be at least a year. It's going to be at least a year. They're going to completely redo it. So it's like the one in California and Paris. You know, with the loops and the craziness and making.
I hadn't heard that.
That's what I'm. If they're shutting it down for that long, that's got to be what they're going to do, because that's the Disneyland one was down for 18 months, and that's what they did.
Do you think they're really going to change the track? I thought they were just going to change the cars and the sound system.
Not if they're going to shut it down for a year.
Wow, that's huge. If they change the whole track,
that's my impression. I don't have that on any authority. I just know they're talking about shut it. We're hearing rumors that they're going to shut it down the end of January, that it's going to be shut down for at least a year. And if they're shutting it down for that long, they're not just changing out tracks and cars. They're redoing the attraction, because they could build a whole new ride in a year. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to see it. Because the one out in Disneyland was a huge hit.
For like a year?
Year, 18 months it was closed for. And that's when it went from the Space Mountain that it was.
To the Rockin', yeah, which is awesome.
Right.
But that doesn't have loops in it, does it?
No. You don't go upside down.
Doesn't it?
No.
I thought it was the one they had in Disneyland Paris.
No. The one in Disneyland does not have loops.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to be honest with you.
It's just incredibly smooth with the Rockin'.
Whatever they did in Disneyland is what they're going to be doing here.
Yeah. Okay.
So I didn't, like, again, I've never been on it, so I just assumed it had
it's
the
awesome.
Loops and the nonsense. Yeah. But whatever they did in Disneyland is what I'm guesstimating they're going to do here, but we have not seen it show up on any of the when does Splash Mountain finish its rehab?
That they're putting loops in.
January 17th.
January 17th. Expect sometime right after January 17th, they're going to shut down Space Mountain.
Yeah, can't have them both down at the same time.
They won't have them both down at the same time. So that's my prediction. Those are rumors that I'm hearing. Whether or not they're accurate, who knows? I'm not saying that it's for sure. But those of you coming down in late January, just be prepared. You might not be dealing with Space Mountain at Magic Kingdom. And that will do it for Roundtable Rapid Fire this week. We're going to move on, and Kathy Worling just got back from a three-night cruise on board the Disney Wonder, and she's going to give us a little update, tell us about her trip. How was it?
Heavenly. It was really great. A lot of people say, why take a three-day? It's like a nice little sanity break in there. I mean, I live here in Orlando, so it's nice to just, you know, get away for a couple days.
And the three-night cruises are pretty readily available. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't sell out.
And it was a great way to spend the holidays or, you know, get in the holiday mood. I haven't decorated at home yet, so it was nice to go and see decorations.
I saw your pictures. The decorations are really cute.
Yeah.
From the ship and from Castaway Key.
You know, and it's just, you know, something different to do. And it was a chance to spend some time with my daughter because she's always working. So,
was the gangway fixed?
One of them was up. And the other one wasn't. And it was funny. As people were standing on it, they were like, hey, I heard this gangplank had been repaired. And you could feel the thing, like, moving up and down. And I'm trying to be really cool. But I'm like, could we get the line moving a little
move
faster?
Along, idiots.
Because I didn't want to be, you know, another report that gangway fell down. So
with you on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't have my camera, so I couldn't have taken pictures.
I would have been screaming like a deranged Girl Scout.
Yeah. That's one good thing about living in Florida. We don't have bridges because, like, in Pittsburgh, everywhere you had to go, it was across a bridge. And I like it much better down here where it's – but that gangway, you know, there's one I couldn't figure out. And the other one's not there, so I don't know. I guess they do this at night or when the thing isn't there. But we were questioning why it just sort of hangs out in midair. Like, you would think it would retract or
– Now, for those not aware that there was an issue a few weeks back when a storm hit.
Right.
And
we actually had tornadic activity.
The gang planks that connect the cruise ship to the cruise terminal, the winds had blown the ship off its mooring, and these gang planks came crashing down and broke. So only one of them has been repaired?
Only one has been repaired. And the other thing that it did was it snapped for the mooring lines on the back. So we were watching that the whole time to, you know, make sure that they were staying where they were supposed to. And if things started snapping, we were going to start moving. But, we got there. I like time things when we got there this time, because a lot of people always say, well, what time should you get to the cruise terminal and how long did you wait? We left the house, it was shortly after 10 o'clock, so we I think we stopped on the way. We ended up at 11:30, and we had boarding pass number 9. And they started at 11:45. It was about 12:05 when we got on board. So even though we had like a high number, we still got on board quickly. Now there was like a line, you know, you have your lines to go get your pictures. So the pictures are back where they always were because they had moved those when the gangway was not there, but it's back where it always is now. And then from there, then that was where the line was trying to get over to the ship. And I said, you could feel the thing swaying. And they still welcome you when you come on board. And it was cute when my daughter got on board. You know, they ask your name and we gave it to them. And they just went like, and the Whirling family. And they were just like very matter of fact. And my daughter went, hey, you guys can do better than that. And we had cast members like jumping up and down. And, you know, they welcomed us like further. My daughter has a video of it. It's cute. They really responded to that. So this time we decided to, we always head for beach blanket, I want to say beach blanket bingo, but beach blanket up on the deck 9 for lunch. And we decided to try one of the inside restaurants because we had never done that before. And I think I like the inside restaurant better.
Which one did you go to?
Parrot Key. It was a nicer way to start the cruise, to sit down inside, because I figured we were going to have plenty of time to be outside. And it was nice, you could have a better place to put your stuff away from where you were sitting instead of, you know, like everybody trying to get past your stuff when you're sitting upstairs. But it was nice. They had a lot of different food out, so we started off with that. And I think we wandered upstairs, and we were no sooner upstairs, and it was like 1:30. It was time to come down and check out our room. We had a room that was in the very back of the ship. We were trying to see what we were going to have, and I'd looked at the stateroom reports on the Diz, and nobody had written up this room, so I was anxious to see what it was like. But it was the last room aft on the starboard side before they got to the handicapped rooms. So we had the metal like balcony, but we didn't have like the porthole to look out of. But the because of the, it was on the curve of the ship, the deck itself, our deck was much bigger than what it normally would be. And then the next room over, boy, those people with the handicapped rooms, you know.
Those are huge balconies they have.
We just went in September, and I think you had the same room we had.
The only thing I didn't like, it was a lot chummier in the room because there was no steamer trunk. And if two people were trying to pass by the bed, one sort of like had to move out of the way.
You had the exact same room we had because okay. We had no steamer trunk. What category was it?
A 6.
Yep.
Can I go back for a second? Mm-hmm. You mentioned you were on the Diz with the stateroom reports. For those who don't know, we have in the staterooms area in our Disney Cruise Line section, we have a stateroom reports section where people, after they travel, they can go input their stateroom number and give a report on it. So if you're looking to cruise, you can go look through that list and kind of see if the stateroom you're staying in has high or low marks.
And we'll make sure we put a link to that in the show notes page. And also, if you're just coming back from a cruise, please submit a stateroom report. Let somebody else know what you thought of your room.
Yes.
My folks had the handicapped room next to us, so okay. We had that huge balcony.
Did you use it? Because we never saw anybody out on the balcony on the handicapped room.
Interesting about the handicapped balcony is even though it's all handicapped accessible, there's still a bump to get out of your stateroom onto the balcony. So his mom couldn't go by herself. If she wanted to go out there, we had to push her out there to get over that little bump. So it's still not the most handicapped accessible thing. But she enjoyed just looking at like parking at Castaway Cay. She had a chance to go out and see the whole island from there. So that's very cool.
Oh, that's nice. It was mentioned to us that, you know, you're just going to have this great view of Castaway Cay from the room.
And the other side?
Well, no, we were on the starboard side to see it, but I don't know. I guess I'm geeky enough. I like them when we pull in and they, like, stage Castaway Cay and all the forklifts come out and everything. And when they're all done, then they key the music. I think I enjoy that more than the starboard view of looking at the island. Call me crazy. But
I think you've been on the cruise one too many times.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's what I do.
Well, you know, let's just pause for a second and, you know, thinking about those people who are listening that may never have been on a Disney cruise before. What do you think some of the things, based on your experience this past time, What do you think some of the things they need to know are?
Well, the number one thing, and I was going to blog about this from the ship, but I decided to think about it for a while and then see if I still felt the same way. I think the cruise ship dress code, or the way that people are dressing, is getting very lax.
This is why I pitched you this question.
And I don't know. I want to put the blame with Disney, because Disney doesn't enforce it. And I am a very casual person, but I was brought up that when you did certain things, you dressed a little nicer.
You dressed a certain way, absolutely.
And, you know, I looked, because I wanted to see if there was any loopholes in how I was supposed to dress when I got on the ship, and it's cruise casual. I can't tell you the outfits that I saw at dinner, and I hoped over the course of the 3 days that I was going to see an improvement, because maybe the first day people hadn't gotten their luggage yet or
something. No, you know, people might show up and think, oh, shoot, this is how I should be dressing
right,
when they see other passengers, but that doesn't happen.
But I saw, like, you know, denim shorts, like white T-shirts, you know, not designer T-shirts, not T-shirts with things on it, like, you know, a Hanes T-shirt. They're flip-flops. I just,
that's,
you know,
ridiculous for
you
dinner.
Know, I really think, and I've seen on the boards that people go, well, they couldn't afford to dress any nicer. And I think that...
Yeah, they can.
That how you dress on the cruise, that should just all get factored into the cost of going on a cruise.
You can even wear very nice shorts. You can wear a nice collared
right.
shirt.
Even if, it's a, even if it's a pair of jeans and... A nice shirt.
A collared shirt.
You know, polo shirt or something.
There's, I mean, I don't care who you are. If you can afford to go on the cruise, you can afford to go to Target and spend right. $30 on an outfit.
But you know what's bad? Is the people who think they're dressed up and they're not.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, we went to formal night one night, and a woman had taken a very large scarf and tied it around her neck and around her shoulder and then around her waist. So she was wearing a scarf and no undergarments.
Oh.
And she was wearing long black pants and sparkly high heels. And I thought to myself, okay, so now she's followed the dress
code.
She
thought she was on P. Diddy's yacht.
Exactly. So it's not just the folks showing up in denim shorts and flip-flops. There's a dress code, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, and then there's the people who go to the other end of the extreme, the, you know, that it's like the Liza Minnelli sequin convention.
Right. Exactly. Right. We were on a cruise one time, and there was a woman whose clothes were so tight and so revealing you could tell what religion she was. It was like, I could see things I didn't want to see.
Yeah, it was just, I guess I was disappointed. I thought more of people. That they would dress up a little. And even at Apollo, the night that we went, there was a guy with a pair of really ratty-looking jeans and that Hanes T-shirt, but he had a suit jacket. And I'm like, now again, I don't think that's how you're supposed to dress for Apollo. And I don't know.
So basically, he was wearing the same thing he would wear to, like, work around the house, except
right.
he threw a suit jacket on, so he was ready for Apollo.
Right. Know? And I can speak from experience that dressing up does not kill you. It might make you a little uncomfortable, but I really think it added to the whole experience to dress up a little bit. And we actually had pictures taken of us. I had a dress and high heels on. So
go ahead, Kathy.
I documented that fact. So has anybody ever wondered?
There's a picture?
Yes, there's a picture.
I want to see the picture.
You know, I actually have legs. I can prove that.
But, you know, also on formal night, when you take that extra step and get extra dressed up and you might be sitting at a table with other people in shorts and T-shirt, it kind of takes away from that whole
yes.
that whole feeling you were going for.
Well, we don't go to formal night for that reason. We don't want to dress up, but we also don't want to take that away from other people
right,
who
right.
are experiencing it. So we'll go
somewhere else. I dress the same on formal night as I do any other night in the cruise. I mean, when I go to dinner, I'm in slacks, dress shoes, and a collared shirt. I do not get dressed up for formal night. It's not a requirement that you get dressed up for formal night. And it's really not, you know, technically a requirement that you dress a certain way per se at dinner. There's a suggested dress code, but it's really tacky to show up in shorts and flip-flops and a ratty T-shirt for dinner in a place like Triton's or Lumiere's, depending on which ship you're on, or God forbid, into Palo, because Palo, you're supposed to have a jacket anyway,
right?
But like, you know, as you pointed out, this guy just threw a jacket on over his
Paolo actually lists jacket suggested for gentlemen. They want no shorts, no open-toed shoes, collared shirt, and a jacket suggested. So
no open-toed shoes for men.
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm like, I have some really nice heels that are open-toed, okay?
Now, I read your blog. Tell us about Paolo, your experience with Paolo. And for those who don't know, Paolo is the adult-only restaurant on board the ship. There's a separate charge for that, which covers the gratuities for your servers.
But it's also not included in the dining rotation. You have to make an effort to go to Paolo. You have to make a special reservation.
It was our animator's palette night, and my daughter was a little upset that we missed it. But I never did understand the show in that restaurant anyway. That, to me, was always like a time waster. So we get up to Paolo, and we had...
Damn, you're a rough customer.
She is rough. I love that one.
I love animator's palette.
We forced ourselves through the bad food there just to enjoy the show.
No, I don't know. It just, to me, it seemed like too big a show. My daughter kept like talking me down off the ledge because there was a few things I was getting a little upset about. And she goes, remember, you're on a Disney cruise. Relax. So she made me promise not to blog till I came home. But anyway, so we got to Paolo, and we got this waiter, and he seemed very nice, and he, you know, he brought out the menu. And from reading the Diz, I've heard of all these people that had these fantastic waiters that when you said, oh, well, what do you recommend? And they're like, oh, well, this or that, or here, let me bring you a little bit of this and you can try that. And he gave what the, you know, the suggestions were for that night. And I went, well, how do you feel about the pizzas on there? And he goes, if you noticed, I didn't tell you about that because that's going to fill you up. And I'm like, ooh, I'm sorry. You know, that I was hoping this time that maybe my waiter would, you know, like involve me in the process and sort of, you know, bring some things out maybe that I had never tried before. He was a great waiter, but very, you know, like, here it is.
Abrupt.
Yeah, probably more like that. And then he brought out some prosciutto and some Parmesan cheese that had been marinated in something, and that was good. And I was thinking, well, you know, that little pizza would have been good too, but he wanted us to save room for dessert.
It's not up to him.
Right. Right.
I would have been like, exactly. Leave me alone.
I've had experiences in Paolo where if you even glance at the menu, they're bringing out samples of this and samples of that.
See,
and
that's what I was hoping for.
The last time I was there, it didn't happen either.
There's a reason why I asked you about it, because our experience with Paolo the last time on The Wonder was less than stellar. We talked about it ad nauseum. So there's something going on that ship that's just not right, in my opinion.
Well, we were on the Magic.
Oh, we were on the Magic. That's right. We're on the first ship. Well,
maybe it's a corporate thing.
There must be a change in policy for Paolo.
I also found the menu to be less broad than it was in the past. It was a little narrow as far as their selections. I didn't find the depth of selection that I found in the past.
What do you think of the quality of food and what they served you?
I thought it was good. And talking about the food again, one of the specials was lasagna, which I thought was a little strange. But when I had said that I was interested in the lasagna, he goes, you don't want that. He goes, you want the beef. And I'm like, okay, I'll have the beef. So it's
that's
like,
weird.
Yeah. See, now, I don't think lasagna is what I consider to be Paolo.
No, I didn't either.
No, that's not
however,
gourmet
that's
food.
That's not how you talk to a guest who says, I'm interested in the lasagna.
Right. But I guess that goes to my point that the menu has changed. I mean, there was a time when they wouldn't have considered putting lasagna. I mean, lasagna is something you get at the corner Italian restaurant.
I'm also interested because Kathy's saying, yeah, the food's good. How many times have you been to Paolo where you just couldn't stop talking about the food?
Yeah, I mean,
incredible it was.
I mean, I've had good steak other places. Was this steak any better than that? No, it was tender. It was okay. I said to my daughter, I says, maybe it's too rich for our blood. It's, I don't know. They with me, it was like, I don't think I'll try it the third time. Mm. You know, unless I knew that there was a guaranteed waiter that's going to.
His mom said the same thing. His mom said, if we come back on a Disney cruise, I'm not coming here again.
We actually found the food in Lumiere's. Lumiere's? Was it Lumiere's or Triton? It was Lumiere's because of the roses. I get Lumiere's and Triton's. I can never remember which is which. But we found the food in there better than Paolo, and that's never been the case before.
Yeah, I liked our rotation dinners. I thought they were very good. I had rutabaga the one night. that I had read on the Dizziter, because those aren't French fries. That's fried rutabaga. So I couldn't wait to try them, and they were actually pretty good.
Fried rutabaga. As long as you're deep frying, who cares? Yeah.
So now I can say I had rutabaga.
Yeah. I like escargot night. I have it for appetizer and dessert.
So overall, it was a good experience.
At Apollo?
No.
The cruise? Oh, the cruise was awesome. You know, you can't go wrong with the Disney cruise, you know, and on Castaway Cay when they have the big picnic and all that.
That buffet is great.
The only thing I didn't like, it sounded like I didn't enjoy my cruise, but...
Are you just whining up a storm over there, woman?
Maybe I need another cruise to relax from this one, but Toy Story Musical... I didn't like it.
Yeah,
at all.
We've heard bad reports about
that.
I
went there the first time it was open, except for one or two songs. For the most part, it was just.
Is it Randy Newman?
No, it's all new music.
Oh,
it's all, except for that song.
This was done in the vein of Twice Charmed, where they're trying to come up with original Broadway caliber.
Those Randy Newman songs. You got friends. I'm your friend. Be my friend.
It's a good enough show, and it's an okay show, and it's a good cruise show. It's definitely not Broadway caliber. It's not. People are just raving about it, and I didn't find it to be that way at all.
I enjoyed Twice Charmed. I really did. I enjoyed the music from it, and I enjoyed the show.
I did, too. I took my folks. John wouldn't go that night. He was sick. And my mother and father slept through it. I thought it was great.
He knew I was sick because there's not a casino on that show.
That's right. I was doing the little air quote things. John was sick. I'm not feeling good. Is it okay if I do something else?
Well, thanks again, Kathy. That was...
You're welcome.
I'm sure you had sounds like you had a great time.
I did have a good time.
With the exception of your complaints about an animator's palette and pillow and
really
the way
jealous.
People dressed.
And being on the wrong side of the ship at Castaway Cay.
And being on the wrong side of the ship at Castaway Cay.
This is going to sound really bad, but I'm really jealous of all of you that got to cruise this year because I didn't.
Yes, I enjoyed it for you. How's
well,
that?
You know, this is all a precursor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is all a precursor for the great four-night podcast cruise coming up May 10th. And I'm telling you, people, you're not going to want to miss this. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, we kept saying that. It's like, this was good, but it's going to be so much better when we're surrounded by everybody from the Diz.
Well, you know, for those who've heard about the Toy Story Mania Party and how amazing it was, if you thought that was good, you know, imagine what the podcast cruise is going to be like. And... To get the really good pricing that we've got, because there's some great pricing on that. I hate to shill for this, but I'm going to. To get this good pricing, you've got to book this before January 10th. After January 10th, we lose our group space. It doesn't mean that you can't book into the cruise. It just means the price is going to go up pretty substantially by about 30 or 40%.
And for those last-minute shoppers who don't want to go to the really crowded mall, you can go to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, fill out the paperwork, and have it delivered right to your house. Print out the thing on your printer and give everybody a cruise.
As Kevin knocks over everything in front of him.
That's because I was doing very excited hands.
Jazz hands.
So
I also want to remind people, there are several people on who signed up for the cruise that only booked one person so that they didn't have to come up with the full deposit. If you want to add another person or more people to your stateroom, you're going to have to do it before January 10th because the current pricing will kick in for anybody you add to your cruise. So just a reminder, you have more people to add. You're going to have to do that before January 10th. Come up with the additional deposit, but just make sure you do that so you don't pay more money.
Exactly. All right. Great. We're going to move on to our next segment. Kevin Close has some re-reviews and a Cheap Eats review for us. Kevin, take it away.
All right. We had our typical Saturday night dinner out. We went out with our friends this past Saturday night, and we went to Villa de Flora. Villa de Flora has a different theme several nights a week.
Well, just make sure everybody knows, Villa de Flora is the buffet restaurant located in the lobby in the atrium of the Gaylord Palms Hotel.
And on Saturday night, the theming is a Spanish theme. We had gone the last time on a Friday night, which has an Italian theme. While everything was as good as it was before, we found the Italian theming to be more to our liking. There were more choices that we enjoyed. So on Gaylord Palms website, they do offer a listing of what the different nights are and some of the highlights of each buffet.
It's also important to note that Kevin did go dressed as a toreador.
I did. I wore my toreador pants. again, you just can't beat this place. They do a phenomenal job. We actually sat in a part of Villa de Flora that I didn't know existed. John was talking earlier about how crowded this hotel was. The streets were literally double parked with cars. There was enough room for one car to get through any of the streets in front of Gaylord Palms.
Really?
It was mobbed.
Wow.
And we sat in a room that I didn't know existed. We sat overlooking the Key West section. That's how far back we were in Villa de Flora. There was nothing up front.
Wow.
This is a spectacular buffet, and I just have to give them a shout out. We threw a curveball at them. My mom, I've told you all before, has limited choices in most situations. On Spanish night, she was limited to olives. And we talked to...
You know, who knows? When you do something like this, it's right. Hard to predict what you can and can't eat. And just nothing was there that she could eat.
And I suggested to the waitress that my mom might not be eating because there was nothing that we saw on the buffet that she would really be able to eat. Without blinking, they said, we'll take care of her. What would she like? And I said, she has to eat things that are kind of plain, not a lot of spice. They grilled her a chicken breast and steamed vegetables and made her some very unspiced potatoes. So without blinking an eye,
wow,
they took care of her.
That's nice.
With great success. So I just have to say thank you. They did a really, really nice job with that.
I know people are going to roll their eyes when I say this, but it's in absolute honesty, there's a reason we do business with these people. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for when we add these places to the site. That's the kind of customer service we go out and look for, and they're great at it. We've heard many reports from our visitors of people at the Gaylord Palms going out of their way to do things just like that, and it's good to hear.
The other nice thing they did it without any fanfare.
Right.
So it didn't make her feel like that she had... She stood out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just done with great aplomb. We also had an anniversary that night. Some of our friends were celebrating an anniversary, and one of our friends was celebrating a birthday. For the birthday person, they brought out a hot fudge sundae with a candle in it. And
nice.
For the anniversary folks, they brought out a platter of chocolate-dipped long-stem strawberries and mint chocolate mousse.
Ooh.
So this was above and beyond.
Boy, I want some of that.
Really. This was above and beyond the dessert buffet. So they just did, and there was no additional charge for this. This was
their
way of doing things. And I just have to say, I just want to give them credit for that. That's all I have to say there. Moving on, we went back to a restaurant. We ran into a mouse fester, and we went out to dinner. I'm not giving
Is that like an Uncle Fester?
Well, that's okay. On the boards, they're called MFers. You should have seen that in chat one night. I was hitting delete, delete, delete. And Mindy finally said to me, mouse fester, Kevin, calm down. We ran into a mouse fester and we went out to dinner. We went out to the Yachtsman Steakhouse at the Yacht Club at Disney. And we reviewed this in the past. And I know there are certain people who have not had good experiences there. I think this is just top notch. There were four of us having dinner. We started with lobster bisque. Some folks had the seared Maine diver scallops. We had a cheese putter. Excellent. Just excellent. This is pricey stuff. This is top of the line. But in my opinion, the value to cost ratio, you're getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had the slow roasted prime rib. This was the biggest piece of meat I have ever seen delivered to anybody.
Really?
It was literally almost the size of the dinner plate. Someone had the New York strip and raved about it. John and I tried something. Our server came over and said, listen, these are the things that are going on the menu. However, we have a special. We have something called Australian Wagyu. W-A-Y-G-U. She explained that it's four times the quality of USDA Prime. It was a New York – it was a strip I'm sorry. Let me just read it to you. It's a 10-ounce strip loin served with truffled mashed potatoes and a Cabernet reduction. It is Australian Wagyu, W-A-G-Y-U. She went all through this whole thing about how fine the quality of this meat was. This was an expensive dinner. This dinner was $54 a person.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you something. John's already wondered how long they're serving Wagyu. This is one of those things where they set it down in front of you and you took one taste of it and you said, "Ooh, I taste every one of those $54. Mm. This was spectacular.
Really? Mm.
This was probably the best cut of meat I've ever tasted in my entire life.
And does it come from a specific animal? Is it just from a cow? Or?
It's their version of Kobe beef.
Okay.
So the beef is handled in a certain way and treated in a certain way. It was incredible. We gave the people with us each a taste, and then they both were kind of like disappointed with their own meals at that point. Like, okay, this is really good, but yours is spectacular.
You know, they served that at the at Epcot, also at the Tokyo Dining.
Do they really?
Yes.
This is I couldn't say enough about it. And it's a 10-ounce piece of meat, and at first I thought, I'm kind of getting gypped here. 10 ounces for $54. I literally ate 2/3 of it. It was so good and so rich, and we brought the rest home.
Really?
Incredible piece of meat.
We're big eaters, and I didn't. You can keep that. I'm actually done with it. It was, if you're looking for a certain, you know, people are always asking us for a certain way to make things more special. This is an expensive entree. It's, if you're looking to make somebody feel really special and they like good beef, this is the thing to do. It's that good.
And the Aspen Steakhouse, their side dishes are family style. So we ordered 2 side dishes for the table, and they were more than enough for everybody. Tell them about the Brussels sprouts.
One of the side dishes was Brussels sprouts. Everybody at the table is making the same face. These were sautéed in bacon butter.
I don't care if they were sautéed in gold and chocolate.
Trust me. We were fighting over the last one. They were so good.
Anything cooked in bacon tastes
exactly.
good.
Exactly. You know, bacon butter.
I said to you earlier, as long as they're deep frying it, who cares? This is, as long as you're cooking it in bacon butter.
It's Brussels sprouts. Absolutely not.
It was worth it.
I will hear none of it.
Again, this is an expensive entree. This is an expensive dinner. But our server was beyond reproach. Everything she did was wonderful. The timing was perfect. It wasn't one of those things where you have to tell them, I'm just going to order an appetizer and you go away for a little while. She just couldn't have been better.
And that was another thing that happened when we ate at the Wave last week that I was really disappointed about. We were rushed through that meal. Our main course came, so they pulled our appetizer off the table and the main course went down. Main course came up. She was pushing dessert. And before she even brought the dessert, she said, I'll be back with your check. They wanted us out of that restaurant as quickly as possible.
In my opinion, that's unacceptable. I would have said something about that. This isn't. This is only my second time at the Yachtsman Steakhouse, and I told my dinner companion. I told him about the little pull-apart rolls that they bring out with the butter with the sea salt on top of it and the garlic and the olive. And the mouse fester kept saying, are they that good? Are they that good? I think she took home some in her pocket. They're that good. Okay, we're going to go from top of the line.
From $54 for a 10-ounce steak.
Right. To Cheap Eats. People are always asking us where the best burger is at Disney. And I keep hearing that Pecos Bill's is the best burger. I'm sorry. That is assembly line. Made in batches of 4,000 burgers that are not worth your money.
And then it kept steamed to be hot.
Right. Just across Popka Vineland Road, if you go out Hotel Plaza Boulevard in the Crossroads area, there's a chain restaurant now called Fuddruckers.
Oh, yeah.
Fuddruckers is, I'm guessing it's all over the country. So if you already know about Fuddruckers, I apologize. However, this is a treasure across the street from Disney. You can get a burger that's a 1/2 pound, 3/4 of a pound, 1 pound. I think they have a 2 pound burger.
Oof.
It's huge. I'm thinking that anybody who can eat the 3/4 pound burger, it's a lot of food. This is reasonable. They have a fixins bar that, in our opinion, is always fresh and top notch. There's onions and tomatoes and everything you can imagine to put on a burger. This is a bargain basement price for Disney area. Just a good burger. If you're willing to drive 5 extra minutes, you can go up to the Sand Lake Road area. Or if you're headed out towards Payway, which is out in the Loop area at John Young Parkway and Osceola Parkway, we now have something called Five Guys Burgers.
Oh, they're awesome.
They are.
Never heard of them.
Five Guys Burgers. If you're looking for ambiance or you're looking for a nice place to go and sit, this is not the place. Or if you're not in the mood for meat, don't go. They have burgers and they have hot dogs. That's it. You can get a big burger, a small burger. You can get a double burger, a single burger. You can put bacon on it. You don't have to have bacon on it. But it's burgers and hot dogs. And their french fries are made in peanut oil. And you go up and you order and you pay the man and they give you a number. The most expensive burger, I think, is $5.69. It's the double cheeseburger with bacon. These burgers are killer. Absolutely killer. One of the cool things they have is they're so proud of their potatoes and their french fries and how they're cooked. There is a sign next to the register that tells you where the potatoes that you're eating that day were grown. Mm. We the fries that we had the other night were made in Sugar City or were grown in Sugar City, Iowa. So this is another place where you can go. And three of us had a full course meal, and it was $21. I'm not a full course meal. Excuse me. We had burgers and fries, but it was everything from drinks to fries, and it was $21 for three of us. Can't be beat. Great, great, great burgers, and a great hot dog too. It's like a New York City Coney Island type of hot dog. Mm. They split them down the middle and grill them on the grill, and they grill the hot dog buns. They're so good. Just cheap. Again, it's
cheap and good though.
Tables and chairs. They have a refillable soda machine, and it's red and white tile. Oh, and there's peanuts, roasted peanuts in the shell while you're waiting for your food.
Can you throw them on the floor?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They encourage you. But again, if you're looking for any kind of theming, the theming is hamburger. But it's cheap. It's a good way to go. It's a cheap. And there's one at Sand Lake Road in the Dr. Phillips area, on Dr. Phillips Boulevard, where Dr. Phillips meets Sand Lake. And there's one right past the Payway area, the Payway restaurant in the Loop area on Osceola and John Young Parkway.
And there's one over by the Walmart on Sand Lake in the same shopping center where they used to take the college program kids.
Sand Lake and John Young Parkway. Yeah, okay. Correct. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that, Kevin. Thank you, Kathy, for your report. Thanks, everybody, for a great show. This is our like I said, the show is going up on Christmas Eve, so I do want to make sure that we wish everybody listening a very, very Merry Christmas, and enjoy your holiday.
And, happy Hanukkah.
And Happy Hanukkah, and Merry Kwanzaa, whatever it is.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays to everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back with you again next week for our New Year's Eve, the last show of 2008, our New Year's Eve show, with another edition of the Diz Unplug Roundtable. Have a great Christmas, everyone.